online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted you've joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on what I feel is a very important theological, doctrinal, biblical question or issue that we're talking about. Who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you? That's what the Apostle Paul asked the believers in Galatia when they had been led into believing another gospel, a different gospel. And then we find also in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 9 and following, an individual called Simon the Sorcerer. Why? I'm laughing. It's not funny. But why was he called Simon the Sorcerer? Because he was performing signs, miracles, and wonders by sorcery. And sorcery simply talks about demonic witchcraft and activities. And in that demonic activities, the scripture says in the 8th chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 9 and 10, he had amazed all of the people. Perhaps it was because of his signs, miracles, and wonders. In fact, we have one of our four sons with us, Greg, and I'm thankful that he's left the southern tip of heaven, better known as the northeast portion of Tennessee, to be with us here in Jacksonville today. But, Greg, I looked at an article that was a research tool on that subject, and I don't usually like to quote the church fathers because they could be wrong. But in this particular article, it says, Justin Martyr and other Christian apologists like Irenaeus insist that Simon the Sorcerer was in fact an antichrist and still continued his sorcery even though he claimed to be a believer. So I am of the position, ladies and gentlemen, now you have the freedom to disagree, but Greg, as I read the total story of Simon the Sorcerer, I don't believe the man was saved based on what he was doing. He wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit.
There are only two powers in this universe. There are only two powers in this universe. If somebody's doing things that seem miraculous, you need to analyze and see where's that coming from. And the reality is he's going, I can do this and this and this and this and this. I want to be able to do what you're doing. I've got all this stuff in my toolkit. I want to be able to do what you're doing. How much does that cost me? Mm-hmm. And that I don't see in the text a life turned over to Jesus Christ. I see in the text a person that's just looking for something else in his toolkit to wow, to amaze, to get the bigger audiences. I mean, they had a movie years back with these magicians. What was the name of it? But each one was trying to outdo the other, steadily, you know, working up their magic tricks to try to outdo the other. You know, peek behind the curtain, see if he could figure out how his opponent, his competition was doing it. And I kind of see that picture here. You know, how you doing what you're doing? I'll buy your tricks from you. I'll buy your tricks from you. But in the Old Testament, you have Jannes and Jambres opposing Moses before the Pharaoh. And Moses cast down the rod, and it turned into a snake. Well, Jannes and Jambres threw down their rods. They turned into snakes, too. So don't ever assume because a person is exuding what seems like miraculous power from God It ain't always from God, folks.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because when you see the end story with Moses, and he threw his rod down to turn into a snake, the magicians did the same thing, but the major difference was the snake that produced as Moses threw down his rod ate the other one, showed that God the Father is more powerful and is superior to what the magicians could do.
Right.
Greg, one of the things that fascinates me, and yet it's a sad scenario, because it talks about Simon the sorcerer, said he had bewitched the people. This is the words from the scripture, by, that word by me is the little Greek word dia, D-I-A, means the avenue, the access, the doorway, says by his sorcery. And that word sorcery is talking about witchcraft. It is talking about doing that which is out of the power of demonic spirits and not the power of God. So the thing that I'm concerned about with this issue today, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have so many that come into the doors of our churches that are lost people, but yet have a charisma and a personality that is winsome, and as a result of that, people will galvanize to them. Greg, have you ever seen that happen?
Oh, my goodness. That I suppose the biggest deception today, and it sounds godly, it sounds decent, it sounds like it's right out of the scripture. It's love, 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 love. Basically, you ought to tolerate everything in view of love. You ought to embrace every manner of sin in view of love. That's not what the scripture says at all. However, we have churches today that have done just what the church at Corinth did. The church of Corinth embraced all manner of sin, including the man that was involved in the incestuous relationship with his stepmother. And they did it on the basis of, we're loving this person. We're loving this person. And Paul said, kick him out. Put him out of the church. And the ultimate desire was that he come to know Christ, that his soul truly be saved. But kick him out. He can't be a part of. By the way, I saw a pastor the other day, and he was confronted in the street by a homosexual, and they had their back in two. He just wanted to have a biblical conversation, but he was being berated as if he's some sort of a homophobe, a bigot, or this, all manner of names being called. He just wanted to have a conversation. Where the pastor then stepped over the line was, he said, come to my church, join my church, I will accept you. That's the wrong answer.
Yes.
That's the wrong answer. Yes, come and hear the gospel, but guess what? You'll not be a part of the body of Christ, not be accepted in the midst of your sin, embracing your sin, because you can only identify as one. Either you're going to identify as a sinner and embrace your sin and hang on to your sin, or you're going to repent of your sin and you're going to identify with Jesus Christ. But you can't do both simultaneously. So, but this notion of love, and I have a younger brother that identified that as sloppy agape years ago. It's God's love, just real sloppy everywhere, and we'll just accept and embrace anything and everything, again, under the banner of love. That's not at all what the scripture has to say, but folks will slip in with that mantra, with that banner, with that talk, and it sounds so good. It's very much like Simon there. It's bewitching, because everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be loved, and we as Christians ought to love, but we ought to share the truth in love. It's not one or the other, it's both.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Greg, while you're saying that, I'm looking at Jude 4. For there are certain men that crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean when it says crept in unawares?
Just like we were just discussing. They come in, and they come in under this banner of, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and they come in with some false doctrine, some heresy, some whatever that sounds good. It's palatable. It sounds Christian. It sounds good. So they're then embraced. They're invited into the body. And then they corrode. They undermine. They backbite. They tear down. And it's all surreptitiously. They have their SMOTS meetings. You know what a SMOTS meeting is, don't you?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, special meetings of the saints. You know,
yeah.
They'll get together behind closed doors and say, you know what, that preacher, he's just not loving. He just needs to be more loving. He's really a bigot, and we love him and all, but he's just wrong. He just doesn't know what he doesn't know, kind of thing. Instead of preaching the whole gospel, instead of falling in behind proper biblical leadership, Christian leadership, and biblical teaching, it's undermining. And they creep in unawares, and next thing you know, they've created their own little network to tear at, to gnaw at, to undermine, to destroy the church.
Absolutely. That's the thing that is so bothersome, and I've seen it down through the less than 100 years now in ministry. I've seen those to come in, and they will offer to take a person to dinner, or a person has a financial shortfall, so let me give you some money. Or in some cases where they will have beautiful prayers, and people are drawn to the God sound, the God look, and the God talk, take them a bouquet of flowers, etc., etc. And I've seen that happen so often in the local New Testament church, and it's just like Simon the sorcerer. He wanted a following. He wanted a following, and the Bible says that he amazed all the people. How is that? He amazed them because the Scripture says he bewitched them through his sorceries. I want our listeners to understand that. He bewitched them. That is, that bewitching means the demonic influence. He fascinated them. He charmed them. He hypnotized them. He seduced them. He cleverly led them by his sorceries, his witchcraft. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, hey, Dr. Youngblood, and I guess Pastor Youngblood as well. Great show. I loved Blake calling in and talking about getting involved and plugging in at that church meeting there, 295. I think it's great. Wonderful show. Here's my question. A lot of times, I think as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we're out in the world, our daily activities, we kind of forget the fact that, hey, as Galatians said, you know, wake up, sleeper, and who has bewitched you, Galatia? That we forget that we're in the world, but not of the world, so that we should not conform to the world, as the Bible says, but be different. Now, in a loving way, but here's a great example. I was talking to my sweet bride this morning, and she said, you know, two of the things that really are big deal in ministry are gossip and gluttony. So we had a long discussion about gossip and gluttony. And you know, it's true. You talk to somebody who professes to be a believer, and 5 minutes later, they're talking gossipy. And as the other pastor said, a smos meeting. So, this and that. Now, how many pastors are overweight or this or that, and they're preaching about, you know, your body's a temple kind of thing, but they're not eating proper food kind of stuff. And it was a wonderful conversation. But the gist of the message was, years and years ago, I got a chance to meet Billy Graham. And when he walked in the room changed. And I believe that that's because the Holy Spirit was in him in such a tactful way, he changed the room. So my prayer ever since I met him was, Lord, without words, but just with my presence, help me to illuminate the way for non-believers to you through my actions and, if need be, words, but preferably by my actions or questions of them. Try to get them to open up. Because if we're to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God, we should be loving and accommodating and supportive, but not compromising.
Absolutely.
Not compromising. And not say that a bad lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle is okay. They need to repent. And anything that we're doing, that we're having a conscience issue, I always say a clear conscience is a soft pillow. If you go to bed at night troubled and you pray and you give that to God and you wake up the next morning or your dentist says, hey, you're grinding your teeth kind of thing, there are some things that you've got to work out with God, and we constantly have to have accountability partners and have that prayer. But the church itself, we ought to be the happiest people on the planet.
Amen.
And, yeah, that's right.
Well, James, one of the things, let me run this by and get your thoughts for just a moment on this. As you read the 13th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, you find with Simon the sorcerer that he was even baptized. Now, a lot of people... Most people, if you're in a local New Testament church, somebody says, I'm saved, they follow the Lord in believer's baptism, the mindset is, he's okay. He has been saved. He's confessed his sins have been forgiven, they've been remitted, they're under the blood, and he's even been obedient to baptism. This didn't change Simon the sorcerer. He was still the same one. In fact, that was in the 13th verse. When you look at verses 18 and 19, he wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit,
right,
indicating there's still a lostness. So, James, with that, I'll say this. We cannot go by a person's outward, what it looks like. He might talk good, look good, act good, et cetera, et cetera. But according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and following, there are many that look good, act good, and talk good. But the scripture says, by their fruit you shall know them. And the 21st verse of Matthew chapter 7, it says that they will say, when they stand before Jesus, some of these will say, Lord, haven't we done great works? We've sung in great choirs. We've preached great messages. We've cast out demons. Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Epigenosis. I never had a personal first-hand relationship with you. You're lost. You've never been saved. And that is the danger that we see, in my opinion, in the local New Testament church today. So it deserves our cognizance and our recognition of that. And we need to find the truth, stick to the truth, and not embrace all that looks like and talks like godly. And I say that, James, because so much, as you know, is out on television and online and in many of the pulpits and many of the groups today, I'm finding it disconcerting that so many things are taking place in America today that's outside the body of Christ. We're having major Bible studies outside of the church. We're having major baptisms outside of the church. And it's not under the umbrella of the local New Testament church with a shepherd, John chapter 10, with a shepherd to lead them in the truth of the Word of God. What say you?
I say amen to that, and stand firm. What's it? Be watchful, stand firm, be men of faith, act like men, be strong in all that you do, and act in love, I think, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. And I think that strength, that strong, you know, there's a fight or a flight reflex that everybody's born with. And I think that unless you understand, and as you said, unless you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you haven't got a chance in the world. You haven't got a chance to know how to react, when to hold your tongue, and when to rely on God's word. Because we've talked about that before. The full armor of God, I believe there's only one offensive weapon, and it's the sword of the Spirit. And that's further defined in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to discern thought from intention, bone from marrow, I believe, is what he said. So every piece of the full armor of God, other than the sword, when it's pulled out, which is the Bible, the Word of God, God's owner's manual, is the only thing that we can protect ourselves against demonic attack. We can deflect the flaming arrows of the evil one with the breastplate and the shield and the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace and the belt of truth. We can be equipped with the full armor of God. But unless we intimately understand that suiting up and that standing firm in his precious word that he's given us, and he opens our eyes to and our heart to, we don't have a chance.
Absolutely.
Just don't have a chance.
It deserves our prayer, our consciousness, and recognition that everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we need to be aware, and just as the Jude 4 talks about, is there wicked ones that have crept in unawares. And the thing that is bothersome to me, and should be to every Christian, James, that's listening today, is the fact that we have in our bodies of Christ, the churches, we have those that are lost, and they can cause chaos, confusion, and calamity within the body. And you'll have good, well-meaning, but yet immature Christians that will follow them, embrace them, and to hold them up as being something special, as in Acts chapter 8, verses 8, 9, and following, where they are praising Simon the sorcerer because of his sorcery, he bewitched them. James, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you
God bless.
Keep looking up. Thank you. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Greg, what say you?
I think this generation has replaced so much of God's truth with this new gospel, this new teaching, that somehow or another tolerance is a virtue,
mm-hmm.
that anything can come in, anything can be done, and our greatest show of love is tolerating anything and everything. And, you know, the world will be the world. I don't believe we as Christians are called to force the world to act like Christians. But if you're going to come in and identify with the body of Christ, well, then there's a standard. And there's a standard that we as believers ought to judge, we ought to discern, we ought to analyze to see whether or not an individual is a believer, and if we ought to continue associating with that individual. You know, I suppose if I asked someone to pray for me, I would say pray for discernment, because in this world it's lacking, mm-hmm. and we're to try the spirits, see whether or not they're of the Lord.
Right.
Because I think a lot are counterfeits today. Right. They walk in, they put on a good show, mm-hmm. and they express the sloppy agape, and many times they come preaching a gospel of tolerance. And Jesus loved us too much to leave us in our sin. And you see the woman at the well, at the end of their conversation, he said, go and sin no more. You know, he didn't say, hey, go and keep doing what you're doing. Go and sin no more. And I think somehow or another, the church today, much of it has been bewitched mm-hmm. by the tolerance gospel.
Bewitched, absolutely. That's a good term, just as used here in the scripture. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, I agree totally. The church is bewitched. They are fooled. And you don't have too many pastors talking about the end times. And they don't. And it's sad. Especially in black churches. They, you know, say that God is good, God loves, and Jesus died for you and all this. But they don't say come and get really, repent really. Should I say it like that?
You're exactly right, and repentance is necessary for salvation. Without repentance, there's no way to have forgiveness of sins. Repent means change your mind, change your heart, change your direction. And when we find so many today, Kenneth, not just in the pulpit, but also in the pew, those that will claim to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and because sometimes some of these that come into church, they might be, as I call it, doctor or lawyer or something that is important in the world, and they'll be looked at with a great reverence and great respect, and will follow them. But when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and following, the scripture says there will be false teachers, there will be false prophets, there will be those that are false. The word false means pseudo, phony, false, not real. And so that's one of the key elements that most do not recognize, and they embrace anything, any teaching, anybody that will come into the New Testament church, whether it be in the pulpit or in the pew, and multitudes of anemic, immature, may I say, unlearned Christians will want to embrace them and follow them. I've seen it too many times in the past, less than 100 years, and it can divide a church, it can cause chaos and confusion when that takes place. So the key to it is, Kenneth, as I've said, we need to learn the Word, study the Word, know the Word, embrace the Word, and let the Word be the guiding direction in our lives, and not somebody's personality or what they say or do. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Greg, what say you? I'm looking at the 2 Peter text, and it says in verse 1 that they're false teachers. That word false is the word pseudo, phony. Then the scripture talks about that they're callous, that is, even denying, that is, saying no to the Lord Jesus. There are multitudes today that just as Simon the sorcerer wants the crowd, wants the following, as I call it, there are a lot of churches today that are building their, quote, ministry on the wow program, having the big wow. Look at what I can do. Some will have famous wrestler in the pulpit or on the stage doing a performance. We have a performance-focused society today wanting entertainment even in the churches. Itching ears, the scripture tells us in the Timothy text.
The bread and circuses have moved into the church. Mm-hmm. You know, Caesar's diversions, the bread and circuses, the games, we've rolled that right into the church, and you have to have your mega coffee bar, mm-hmm. not just a coffee bar, not a super coffee bar, but a mega coffee bar, and you've got to have the light show and the loud music and the smoke and the, you know, the stage performances and the interpretive dance and the, well, guess what, folks? Once you go down that path, it's a never. You better be able to wow them more the next Sunday and wow them more the next Sunday. The scripture doesn't say wow them. The scripture says, you know, give them wisdom, the wisdom of the truth, the word of God. Just saturate them in the gospel, let the Lord do that work through them. The idea of a performance drawing folks in. You recall this. There was back when we had the Gator Bowl before mm-hmm. the current stadium, the $50,000 pizza party. Mm-hmm. Draw in youth from all over the city of Jacksonville. I think one or two were said to have gotten saved.
12-year-old boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's great if he legitimately got saved. But that pizza bash, I guess if you want him to come back, you've got to do it a little more. It has to be the pizza bash and some rock and roll singer or whatever. You got to up the ante. That is not what we see in the Scripture as a standard for worship.
That's right. And you remind me of that. That was back in the early 80s. It was the largest pizza party in the city of Jacksonville, where some $50,000 was spent by a local New Testament church to entertain in the Gator Stadium at the time, Gator Bowl, where 50,000 kids, so 50,000 people, $50,000 was spent to fill that up with kids, mm-hmm. and supposedly it was to reach people with the gospel. And yes, if that one got saved, that's good. But my question always has been, how many people walked down the aisle that Sunday morning saying yes to Jesus, followed him in believers' baptism, and then continued to study the Word and learn the Word?
Right.
I didn't see any evidence of that. It's the Simon the Sorcerer wow.
Right, wow factor. On another note, and I know our time is running out, having cruised down that road, coming down out of the mountains, by the way, two things happened. I noticed the temperature kept getting higher and higher. When I pulled into Jacksonville, my temperature in my car, it read 103 degrees, and I immediately thought, what in the world has Donna Deegan done to this town? My goodness. But I want to sing the Lord's praises today, because we just came out of Vacation Bible School, into which we had 400 or so registered young people. We were able to impact lives for eternity through that. Many of them were professing believers. We had four that gave their hearts and lives to Jesus.
Amen.
And it's just a beautiful thing to see that taking place among these young folks. And there's still a harvest. We have a very, very, very short window of time. I think we're living in the last of the last
Amen.
Days. Don't waste your time on things that don't matter. Share the gospel today. Share the love of Jesus Christ today.
Amen. That's the key, ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize, as Greg says, with the last of the last days, redeem the time, the Scripture says, for the days are evil. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
The enemies of Israel have hit hard. It's cities and people with a massive attack. Serious casualties are rising by the hour at hospitals across the Holy Land. I'm Yael Eckstein of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and we urge